So we're sitting here in beautiful Okanagan, British Columbia, in Vernon. Very fortunate to have an old friend of mine and someone that I've been doing a lot of work with in the public markets for many years, Richard Williams, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Strongbow. Strongbow is an amazing story that, you know, many of you have been following. They recently had a very significant discovery in the South Crofty area, very close to in the South Crofty area, which is very well known for copper and tin deposits. Richard's going to talk a little bit about that new discovery and also the fundamentals of tin. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Richard, and he's going to enlighten us. So, Richard.
Thanks, Sherman. So just as a broad overview, just a little bit about Cornwall, a long history of mining dating back to the Bronze Age. Bronze, as many of you might know or might not know, the two main constituents are copper and tin, both of which have been mined over a long period of time in Cornwall. Cornwall is dominantly a copper mining region in the 1700s up until the mid-1800s. When copper then was discovered in South America, Central America, the prominence of Cornwall from a copper perspective faded away, but it then became a prominent tin producing region through the latter part of the 1800s and up until some of the hard rock mines finally shut down in the 1990s. A lot of people, I think, have an outdated view of what tin is used for. I think most people, if you ask them what tin's uses are today, most people would immediately think of tin cans or a tin roof, etc. And it was a surprise to a lot of people to learn that tin is an essential component in the electronics world. And that was highlighted by a chart that was published a couple of years ago now, a research project that was done at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and subsequently published by Rio Tinto at a battery metals conference, where they looked at which metals were used predominantly in various high-tech end uses, renewable power, electric vehicles, computing, robotics, the Internet of Things, for want of a better term. And surprisingly to a lot of people, tin came out at the top of the list. And if you look at tin consumption today, almost 50% of all tin consumed is used in the form of solder, and it's referred to as the glue in the electronics industry, and actually, as you see on this chart, projected to be the most impacted metal with the growth of new technologies. In fact, the International Tin Association is predicting what they call a technology supercycle, starting within the next 3 to 5 years, with the advent or sort of adoption of 5G technology. And I think most of the younger generation, when I look at my kids, they're always taking videos, taking photographs with their phones, and everything goes to the cloud. And really, the cloud is some warehouse somewhere with row upon row of hard drives that are storing all this information. And all of these things have, in these hard drives, have tin within them. So the demand for tin is going to continue to grow. What we've also seen over the last couple of years is a growing awareness and concern from different governments about security of supply. Certainly in tin's case, 75% of all the mine production globally comes from Southeast Asia. China, Myanmar, and Indonesia are the prominent producers. Currently, tin is only produced as a byproduct in Europe from some of the tungsten mines in Spain and Portugal, and there's no domestic tin production in North America. So the US is completely beholden to foreign supply, and as a result, tin has made it onto the critical mineral list that's published by the United States Geological Survey and adopted by the US government. Current global demand is around 360,000 tons per year, and there's also, in addition to, you know, the concerns about security of supply, there's also growing awareness from the end user community, people that use the iPhone or Panasonic or any kind of electronic component, about where some of those metals are coming from. And in tin's case, there's, you know, the possibility that tin is produced in areas where there's large-scale environmental destruction, or there's exploitation of child labour, or the proceeds from that tin production is used to fund conflict. And, you know, many companies, and Apple included, shareholders of those companies are demanding that companies are fully aware of where those components come from. And obviously, looking at Cornwall, we're in a modern jurisdiction, a first world society, and, you know, we can meet all of those requirements from an end user perspective.
It's interesting that you mentioned Apple, Richard. Even just today, there was an article, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it yet, but I caught it on the way in, where Apple is going to be sourcing all of their making all of their chips locally. So that really speaks to what you're talking about, is that the we should call up Apple and see if they want our tin.
Well, it's certainly one of the first things that came to my mind when I started looking for tin opportunities, is once I started learning about the uses of tin and where, you know, who the potential end user would be, you know, Apple's the first name that comes to mind, and you think, well, you're a perfect end user. And it doesn't have to be Apple, but you could be the supplier of choice, where there's a clear line from the source to the end user of where that particular commodity comes from, for sure.
Yeah.
So you know, when we started Strongbow in its current form, we started looking at the tin provinces around the world, and, you know, part of the mandate for what we were looking for was it had to be in a good jurisdiction, preferably something with a history of mining, good grade, and something that could get into production and permitted fairly quickly. And I think for a lot of people, Cornwall wouldn't be something that immediately pops to mind, but when we looked at South Crofty, what really struck us was the mine had been in production for over 400 years. The earliest production was in 1592, operated until 1998. So it was one of the last hard rock tin mines to close after the tin price collapse in the 1980s. Between 2002 and 2013, there was quite a bit of money invested in South Crofty. A new decline was put in. There was over 30,000 meters of drilling. And the company that was making that investment was successful in securing planning permission to build a new process plant. They'd secured the surface rights to do that. And they were also successful in getting a new mining permit. So two of the really key permits that you need to operate a new mine were already in place. And so that gave us a lot of comfort that the local community, local council, were supportive of the project. We then secured the environmental permit to dewater the mine, and what we've seen from the community meetings we've held and the engagement we've had with local parish council, Cornwall council, right up to central government in London, is strong support to see a modern mining economy being developed in Cornwall that would lead to the creation of high paying, high qualified jobs. That would be a real strong boost to the local community. From a geological perspective, Cornwall is one of the major tin provinces in the world. The Cornish granites stretch from Land's End in the west to Dartmoor in the east. It's over 200 kilometres long, something like 2,000 documented mines throughout the county of Cornwall. A lot of those were copper and tin mines. What's also startling, even though you've had such a long mining history, has really been very little in the way of modern exploration conducted in Cornwall. There was a brief period in the 1960s which led to the discovery and construction of four new mines. Wheel Jane was the biggest of them, and that's very close to where we made the recent copper tin discovery. But most of that mining history was related to finding veins in outcrop and developing shafts and mining along them. And, you know, with the new technology, satellite imagery, geophysics and some drilling, we believe that there's a lot more to be found in Cornwall. On top of that, the UK government has designated Cornwall as what they call a HPO, a high potential opportunity region, because of its uniqueness from a geological perspective within the UK, and an opportunity to build really the components and the supply chain to help the UK build its own domestic high-tech industry, battery technology industry. So there's a lot of positive support for what we are doing and what this could lead to for the Cornwall economy.
Just to back up just quickly, Richard, you know, Strongbow currently has a relatively small market cap, and I read recently on some research I did in South Crofty that, and I know that these aren't necessarily all in the reserve categories, but that the last operator, when they did their estimate, thought there could be as much as, I know it's a big number, but $9 billion worth of tin in South Crofty. What's the size of the prize potentially here?
Well, South Crofty is what we would class as the jewel in the crown of the Cornish mining industry as it's known historically. The central mining district, which South Crofty occupies, produced in the order of 400,000 tons of tin metal, the bulk of which came from South Crofty and the mines within that project area. At today's tin prices, that would be pretty close to the number that you mentioned. There's certainly, you know, from what we've seen in recent drilling, geothermal power project not too far away from South Crofty, is that the mineralized structures that the tin occurs in extend to great depth, you know, at least 1, 2, maybe even 3 kilometers into the granite. And at South Crofty, in many cases, they've only just started mining the top of those tin zones within the granite. So from a purely geological perspective, we believe that the mineralized structures are open for expansion, but we can only go by the data that we have currently, which gives us a resource that would support an initial 8-year mine life. But when you put that into the context that the mine operated for 400 years and never had an 8-year mine life, it just tells you that the expansion potential is there. I don't think we would take on a project that had just an 8-year mine life. There's potential for it to be significantly longer.
Sure. Just a couple other quick points before we wrap up, because you know we want to keep our podcast relatively short on this go around. Can you just quickly talk about the new copper discovery and how exciting that is?
Yeah, towards the end of last year, we started looking outside of South Crofty, which had been our focus initially, to see what the exploration potential was. And one of the mineral rights that we acquired in 2015 is called United Downs. It's located about 8 kilometres east of South Crofty. So it's certainly within trucking distance if we were to find something that was mineable, to bring ore from United Downs to South Crofty for processing. United Downs historically was a copper-rich mine. It operated in the 1700s up until the mid-1800s. High-grade copper, over 7% produced. Operate mines and veins extended from surface to about 500 metres below surface. It's contiguous with Mount Wellington mine to the east, and then further east again is the Wheal Jane mine. So what we see are these very long structures which have multiple mines along them. So you have potential for many kilometres along strike. We entered into an option agreement with a company called Cornish Lithium a couple of years ago, and they are exploring for lithium in geothermal waters. And part of the agreement was anything found in the hard rock would be to our account. And they drilled a hole recently which encountered high-grade copper and tin mineralization at about 100 meters below surface. It's only 200 meters north of the old United mine. It's about 300 to 400 meters south of another mine that was called Consolidated Mines, both very high grade copper producers in the 1700s and 1800s. And so we're very excited by the discovery. It's only 100 meters below surface. Every potential that it could come right to surface. There's an old decline that was put in place in the 1980s to explore for this kind of mineralization, but that program was shut down when the tin price dropped. So we've got some infrastructure nearby that we could potentially get into to explore further. So the next step for us is to conduct some more drilling, look at the geometry of what we found, and hopefully it can complement what we have at South Crofty.
Excellent. So I think you had mentioned to me earlier today, you've got actually drill rigs there. It's obviously a situation with the COVID that you're not going to be able to drill right away, but you know, that combined with all the work you're going to be doing in South Crofty, when, I guess we don't know when you're going to be drilling, but you're planning to drill this new discovery reasonably soon.
Yeah, we completed a financing in February. The use of proceeds from that financing was to drill what we call a proof of concept hole at South Crofty. It's a deep hole into the tin bearing system in the middle of the mine. And we plan to drill some wedges off that. So the drill rig is there on site. We're just waiting for the drillers and the go-ahead for the restrictions on movement to be lifted. And we'll use some of that budget to test the United Downs target as well. And hopefully, if things go well, June, July, we might see the drillers back on site and drill test in both South Crofty and United Downs.
That's great news, Richard. I know that when I did my site visit to South Crofty, I was with world-class guy Ross McElroy, who's a very well-known geologist, and he said after his mine tour, he was extremely impressed, but he said, you guys need to drill this. So this is sort of an interesting development. We got this copper discovery, and now we're going to go drill it. So I think it all worked out fantastic.
Yeah, I think that the copper tin occurrence at United Downs just reinforces our belief that Cornwall has a lot to offer from an exploration perspective. Really underexplored, lots of mines, but still lots of metal to be found.
Excellent. Again, thanks again, Richard. Hopefully we'll have you back in the next couple of weeks and we'll just sort of keep talking. Let's talk about tin.
Baby.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
Thanks.